earlier, but to see our senior deacon here today again confirms that God does still work. Yeah. 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 We had many instances that we pray on Wednesday night, but we know that God still works. Yeah. He's still working among his people. And so we give God thanks and praise for what he does for us. There was a gentleman where I grew up. It was an army town. And this guy was coming out of church, and the preacher pulled him off to the side, grabbed him by the hand, and said, "Brother, you need to join the army of the Lord." Okay. And the guy said, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." And the pastor had a question. He said, "Well, how come I don't see you except in service at Christmas and Easter? That's the only time I see you." He whispered back, "Pastor, I'm in the Secret Service." I don't know how all this comes together the way it does, but it's beautiful. I really give thanks to those who prepare the shroud, the choir, how you practice. I don't know when you all do that, but everything comes together so well. The Secret Service. Thank you all. Father God, we thank you for this hour of fellowship and joy. We gather with hearts that are conflicted by the pain that you went through. The joy of our salvation overwhelms us and causes us to kiss back and give you thanks. Because you're still working. For this we give you the praise and the glory. Pray now, Lord, that your word might find a resting place, and that someone might come to know you in a different way or to feel better about life because they've been here with us today. In our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was a child at Easter was about the celebration of new clothes. There was a big Easter play, and we had a big community Easter egg hunt. There was a lot of time spent on planning these events. In churches in this very close community where I grew up, we'd have a sunrise service, and then somebody would have breakfast, and then there'd be an 8 o'clock service, and a 9 o'clock service, and a 10 o'clock service. There was plenty of opportunity to be churchy on Easter. Well, for me, when I was younger, despite all the churchiness, it really came down to the new clothes I was going to get, the Easter egg hunt. I really wasn't thinking so much about the reason for the season. I was thinking about how my new suit was going to look compared to the other boys. I couldn't wait to see what the girls were going to look like. I was not focused on the reason for this season. But today, I don't want us to miss that it's not about the clothes. It's not about the egg hunt. It's about the fact that Jesus got up. As I got older, my focus changed, and it wasn't so much about the clothes, and it wasn't so much about community celebration. I've always loved the music of the church, and so the Easter music became very significant to me. 1971 was a difficult time in my life, but there was a song that came out by a couple named Bill and Gloria Gaither. You might not be familiar with it if you don't like country music like I do. That's my secret sin. You might not be familiar with this song, but it is in our hymnal. It's hymn number 106. And I want to share the chorus with you. The chorus says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." During this very difficult time in my life, it became something to hold on to. When I felt myself losing the grip, I could remember that song, "Because he lived." Because he lived, I could look at the difficult circumstances that I was facing and realize that maybe things weren't as bad as I thought. Has anybody felt like that? It was because he lived that I had a reason to be whatever God wanted me to be. Because he lives, my fear could be turned over to him. Because he lives, I know that I can face tomorrow and whatever tomorrow brings. Because he lives, And he knows my tomorrow. Because he lives my life with all the mess, with all the mistakes, with all the willful sins that I committed and the disobedience, it's still worth living because he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives in me. And because he lives, I can find a reason to keep on living. And if you need a reason for doing anything in your life right now, in this season, it's because he lives. If you're wondering how you're going to make it, you don't understand how you're going to make it. Well, remember, because he lives, you can keep on living too. Because he lives, you can, and you might need to fill in a blank of your own right there. Whatever is in that blank space, know that it's going to be all right. Because he lives. There is nothing you can't do because he lives. Keep moving forward in life. Don't give up because he lives. And because he lives, we have hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story of the triumph of good over evil. It's a story of Christ's victory over death. The resurrection is also a story of our Redeemer's vindication over his tormentors, those who subjected him to the brutality of the crucifixion. But most of all, the resurrection is a story of hope for humanity in a hopeless time. A hopeless time then, and it's a hopeless time now. Our world is filled with hopelessness and hopeless people. And we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, have both the opportunity and the responsibility to tell them about hope. When you say, well, what is hope? Hope is a confident expectation of good. Hope is the anticipation of victory, even in the face of defeat. Hope is that fuel that takes us from today into tomorrow. Hope is that sentiment that ties us to the future, just as memory ties us to the past. Hope is the blessed assurance that everything is going to be all right. And sometimes all we need in life's dilemmas is just a little bit of hope. Sometimes when the tunnel is dark, all we need is just a little hope. Sometimes when the troubles have lasted way too long, all we need is just a little hope. Sometimes when the road is rocky and the way is dreary, all we need is just a little hope. Sometimes when the bills are high and the paycheck is low, we need a little hope. Sometimes when the job is gone and the rent is due, all we need is just a little hope. Sometimes when there is sorrow and it looks like there will be no tomorrow, all we need is a little hope. Sometimes when it looks like you're not going to make it and you truly feel like you can't take it, all you need is a little hope. Sometimes when you're doing your best and you're still failing the test, all you need is a little hope. Sometimes when you're crying and sometimes when you feel like dying, all you need is a little hope. Sometimes when you feel that you've come to the end of the rope and you don't know how to cope, what you need to do is tie a knot, hang on just a little bit longer. There is some hope. Hope does not back up. Hope does not back down. Hope does not back out. Hope does not back in. Hope does not bow out. Hope does not cave in. Hope does not drop out. Hope does not run out. Hope does not give in. Hope does not give out. Hope does not give up. Hope is constantly looking up. Hope is looking up. Hope stands up. Hope measures up. Hope buckles up. Hope suits up. Hope shakes up. Hope rises up. Hope believes there is a sun, even when there's clouds and it's not shining. Hope believes in love, even when you don't feel it. Hope believes in God, even when he's silent. Hope sees the invisible. Hope believes in the incredible. Hope approaches the unapproachable. Hope bears the unbearable. Hope is a lame man on his way to see Jesus, and he told his friends, when I come back, we're going for a walk. Hope is a blind man going to meet Jesus, and he told his family members, when I come back, I'm going to see y'all, because right now I'm going to see Jesus. Hope is a man who can't talk, who went to see Jesus, and before leaving home, he used sign language to tell his mother, I'm going to see Jesus, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to you. Stories of hope fill the pages of the Bible. But the greatest words I find are in our text today, 12 incredible words of hope. It's in the 28th chapter, the 6th verse, and it says, he is not here, is it? Just as he said. All of human history culminated at a place called Calvary. The entire universe focused its attention on this tiny piece of ground near a small hill shaped like a skull outside the wall, the hills of Jerusalem. And hope was fulfilled because he's alive. He's alive. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives in you and he lives in me. And as long as he's living, you can have hope. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't pack up. Don't back down. Look the devil square in the eyes and shout, he's alive. And I have his hope living in me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This Easter morning, I want to encourage you with a simple message, wrapped up in hope and confidence in our God who still moves stones. I want to spend some time this morning talking about the purpose of that stone. You see, the Pharisees had a problem. And the problem was Jesus' proclamation that he was going to arise in 3 days. Him coming back, as he said, would continue this unrest among the people. And the religious folks were nervous and the Romans were unsettled. And so they created a plot. Yeah, the religious leaders went to Pilate, the Roman power, and enlisted his assistance in making sure that the authorities, both Jewish and Roman, would be able to maintain control of Jesus' body. They wanted to make sure that it would never be made public. Never wanted it to be known that he rose from the grave. So they got the assistance of Pilate that the tomb would be sealed and the body would be in their control. And they felt confident in this plan because with that seal of Pilate around the tombstone, nobody would go in and nobody would go out. Because Pilate was the authority. So they felt that Pilate would be the one to help them to solve this problem of him coming back in 3 days. So they got a huge stone of several tons and had it rolled to the door of the tomb. Problem solved. Nobody in, nobody out. Then to further assure they'd have control, they did convince Pilate to put his official seal on that tomb. Seal of Roman authority. And so finally, Pilate took the extra step of having guards posted at the site to give assurance that they would have control of the body. They had the stone, they had the seal, they had the soldiers. Problem solved, or so they thought. On that great getting up Sunday, the Pharisees in the world came to realize there's a power that's greater than Pilate. Somebody on Sunday came to realize there's a God in place who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is sending a message to Pilate. He's sending a message to the Pharisees. He's sending a message to the priest. He's sending to the world that you can't stop what the Lord wants to get done. You can't control God. You can't limit what God can do. There's a word here for somebody today. Trust in God. Put your hope in God. No matter what they try to do to you. No matter what obstacles they try to place in your way. We serve a God who can resurrect you and give you strength and power. He's a God who can do anything for anybody. The Pharisees are in a quandary. You remember their number one priority was to keep control of the body. As long as they had control of the body, they could prove he was dead and all the promises, all the prophecy, all the ministry would be of no effect because they could always take you to the museum and point out his bones. Yes, sir. We got the body, but they had a problem because when they got there was no body. It's not where they left it. So now both Pilate and the Pharisees have a problem. Their solution was to create what somebody would call fake news. The soldiers had to go and report what had happened, and somebody had to get thrown under the bus, so they bribed the soldiers to tell the fake story that the disciples had come and stolen the body. They were claiming that these simple, unarmed fishermen from Galilee, who were hiding somewhere in a room,
scared of everything, hoping not to be found,
yeah,
dreading the knock on the door.
Yeah.
Now you're going to accuse them of overcoming an armed guard, willingly disobeying the express authority of Pilate,
yeah,
break the seal, move a 2-ton rock with no tools, and steal the body.
Yeah.
Fake news indeed.
Yeah.
Given enough time and resources, archaeologists will find anything. Anything that has been lost.
Yes,
they routinely find dinosaur bones. They find sunken treasures,
yeah,
at the bottom of the vast ocean. They found the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
But one thing that they have never found, and trust me, there's plenty of people looking for it, is the body parts of the dead Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't find him because he rose just like he said he would. He is not dead. He lives.
Yeah.
He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. Paul explains for us the impact of his rising as he tells the church at Corinth.
Oh, yeah.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain.
That's right.
Yea, we have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins.
Yes, sir.
And so we thank God that he arose and that our sins are indeed forgiven. God came and removed the stone that prohibited us from reaching Jesus. God proclaimed when he rolled the stone that it does not matter what Pilate says. It does not matter what the armed enemies do or what they say or how they stand in your way. What matters is what God says and that God is in control. God is still moving obstacles and handling objections for us. God is saying to us that it does not matter what enemies say. It's up to us. It's up to God. It's not up to them. It ain't over until God says it's over. Somebody here, even today, knows that God moved some stones to get you to a place that you didn't deserve to be. Somebody knows that he's still making a way out of nowhere. Somebody knows that God gave you stuff you didn't deserve. God put you in a place you never should have been. He gave you what you didn't earn. He shut lying lips. He made your enemies your footstools. You see, however, some of us have some stones in our lives that are blocking us and keeping us in the church. See, our focus is on the stone versus the one who can bring us through it, around it, or over it. We're trying to deal with the stones, but because he got up, the stone should not be our focus. In the scripture, we read that very early on Sunday morning, when the guards were guarding the outside of Jesus' tomb, an angel came down from heaven and rolled the stone away. When the guards saw the angel, they became as dead men. The stone was put there to keep Jesus in and his disciples out. But I'm asking you today, do you have some stones in your life that are keeping you locked in? All you need is Jesus in your life because he still moves stones.
Yes.
Think about this physical image from our spiritual perspective.
Yes, sir.
There are many stones that have been placed before us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we try to move those stones ourselves so that we continue on our way.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we get so comfortable with the stones that we just drag them around with us from place to place. Don't want to even let the stone go. Sometimes God tries to remove the stones, but we hold on to the stone because they become such a critical part of our life and our identity that we can't imagine living without the stone. Sometimes those stones block us in such a way that we adapt to the enclosure and we resist being free.
Yeah.
Our personal issues, fears, and concerns act like the stone they placed in front of Jesus' tomb to keep him in. But it didn't work. Because he got up, we too can move beyond the stones in our lives. Because we got up, we have everything we need to deal with the stones. Everything that comes against us that we have to work our way through can be done successfully because he moves stones. I can believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper because he got up and he moved the stone. I can do all things through him because he got up and rolled the stone away. I can trust that God is going to do what he says he will do because he rolled away the stone. There might be weeping in the evening, But because he rolled away the stone, joy is coming in the morning. Because he got up and rolled the stone away, I know that what they meant for evil, God intended for my good. Because he got up, I know that if I give, it will come back more. I know that if I wait on the Lord, I shall mount up like an eagle. I can do all things because he got up and his promises are true. It is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus can roll away the stone of sin and evil out of your life. He says, you see, instead of trying to keep the stone of sin in your life, you ought to claim that the stone that the builders rejected, who later became the chief cornerstone, and that stone is Jesus Christ, who's known to be the rock of our salvation. He's known to be a rock in a weary land. There is no stone too hard for Jesus to roll away. Just call on Jesus and he will help you roll away whatever stones are blocking your way. Whatever stones are hindering you from moving forward in your life. The stone was gone and they could see that Jesus was alive. They then experienced the power of the resurrection. They believed in the resurrection because he lives. The Pharisees wanted to call him the deceiver. But when they saw the stone roll away, the disciples said, no, you can't call him the deceiver. You got to call him the Lord. You got to call him Savior. We call him Redeemer because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the bright and morning star. He's a way maker and a heart regulator. Can anybody say hallelujah? You can experience the power of the resurrection, but we first have to roll away the stones that are standing in our way. Each of us have stones that block our way of experiencing this resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So the question, what stones are blocking your way and keeping you from experiencing this resurrection power? Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God for most of the time that you've let stones block your way, except his power. Accept his gift. Roll away the stone. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, Jesus defeated sin and death. Yes. So we too can experience the power of the resurrection and experience new life. Yes. The stone was rolled away for you to encounter the risen Lord and to experience the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power comes only from Jesus Christ, who has risen from the grave and who is alive. Yes. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to look into the empty tomb. Know the stone was rolled away so that we may go in and see that Jesus is who he said he is and he is alive. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart.
Amen.
And he still rolled away.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for the reception of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. That we can live as people of power and prosperity. That we can live in confidence, knowing that our salvation is assured. But knowing most of all, Lord, that in those times when we have trials and temptations and things that we can't handle by ourselves, that the stone that was rolled away has become the rock of our salvation. And so for this, we give you thanks. If there's one today that would choose to come and know the Lord as their Savior, come to know him as the one who moves stones in lives, we would ask you to come forward, Father.